Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content. But you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Fellow Dragon Slayers, welcome to the Catholic Man Show. Adam and Ann here sitting in studio with Dave, best friend Dave.
Yo!
Best friend Juan on the buttons. We got Jim in here making sure that no one breaks in. Hopefully. Are you sure?
He's even got his black security hat on today.
Yeah, so...
It says Catholic Man Show on it.
More and more official as the day goes by. Man, Dave, I am so glad to be just recording, with, like, just to hang out for a little bit. It has been a crazy week.
Tell me, bro. Oh,
crazy.
My gosh. I am spilling. I was trying to do a distance pour.
And it didn't work?
Actually, it worked until the dismount.
Mm.
You know what? This has got me before. One time, I was trying to balance my sister's violin on my nose.
Yeah.
And I did successfully. This is another good example of when the dismount got me.
Gotcha.
Because I can balance things on my nose.
Violins are expensive too. Did you break it?
I did.
Ooh.
Yep.
As a parent.
It's a real bummer.
I would.
My mom was, shall we say, furious with me.
I think furious would be probably appropriate.
Yes. I had to fix it.
Man, that would be...
It was able to be fixed, but...
Good.
All the same.
Yeah, man, this has been a crazy week, though. One, I had to redo a fence. You know, I had to build a fence, which is... By yourself, building a fence by yourself is not easy.
I know, I have done that.
Because you have to, like, especially once you hold up the gate, you have to, like... Get something to where you can prop the gate up to hold it to where you can still bolt it in.
Yes, exactly.
And
that,
like,
becomes the issue. It's just like having to hold something and screw it or drill it. You know, like...
Yeah, it's getting tight.
You just need two people to build a fence.
Right. So I was working on that.
Specifically the gate, like you mentioned.
But
the gate.
The gate is the...
Yeah.
But you know what was awesome? I got my boys to do the ceiling... The sealant to seal the fence...
Okay.
While I was putting it on, so like they were able to work and stain and
like
seal the
staining sort of.
Yeah,
is that what
seal,
you mean?
Yeah, they're sealing it so that way it lasts longer. So they were sitting there putting on the kind of like it's almost like an epoxy. and putting it on there while I was putting the fence up. So it was really cool to kind of bond with them. In fact, we had some really good conversations about their favorite saints, and yeah, they had nice. Questions about, like, you know, our family patron saint is Saint Gerard, and they've always known that, and they know that that's who we pray to every night. And Luke goes, Dad, why is our patron saint Saint Gerard? And it occurred to me, I had never told them that, you know, when Mom and I got married, right. They said that we weren't going to be able to have kids, and so that's why we.
Your very existence, son,
yeah, is exactly. the reason. So, anyway, that, and then, man, it was rough. Our family, our family dog passed away last night, which is mm-hmm. like, she's 14, so she's an older dog, but
still,
it was tough.
It's tough.
It's tough. We did a good job by making.
You didn't tell Jim this. He's about.
I didn't tell. Yeah, Riley died last night. It was really tough. It was tough to.
You're gonna make our bodyguard start crying.
Well, I know it was really tough, man. It was not easy. You know, we prepped the kids. I talked to you about this before. Like, we yeah. prepped the kids,
which is good,
which is a good thing.
And that you knew it was coming, so you could even do that because you don't always know.
Right, but man, it was tough. But mm-hmm. So to Riley, well, cheers to Riley tonight.
Cheers to a good dog.
To a good dog who is loyal and kind. And she was an awesome dog. She was so great. Like,
she was kind depending on who you were.
Exactly. Well, that's right. She was a perfect dog.
Yeah.
She did so many cool tricks too. Anyway, what are we drinking tonight, Dave?
So tonight we're drinking Amroot. We've had Amroot Fusion on mm-hmm. the show before. And we really like Amroot Fusion. In fact,
no, it's not back there.
No, okay. But we used to have it kind of in the background.
Which was a Oloroso finish. So it was a peated whiskey combined with the Oloroso finish.
Right. And it's a scotch that they make in India.
Yeah. So it's a single malt.
Well,
is what
okay.
It's called,
so on the back of this, it says made from the finest imported scotch, scotch barley. Okay. Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah. So, but they make it like a scotch, mm-hmm. but it's made in India. Mm-hmm. And, it's kind of hard to find. Ironically, especially if you're in India. A buddy of ours he happened to be in India in mm-hmm. the place where they make it. And so he thought, oh, great, I'm going to be able to get some of this. Couldn't find any. But then he found some in the airport on the way home.
I guess they export all of it, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that the market for scotch
there's
is not very
low.
Big in India. So the Fusion is like the kind of the one that we had been able to find in the past. But you and I both found another Amroot like the same week.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost bought this one too. And
luckily
I texted you first. Yeah. Right. So this is their peated scotch. Well, it's a single malt whiskeys, but, what are your thoughts?
So on the nose, you catch the peat, but as soon as on the palate, it's a very almost molasses, carameled sugar sweetness that then gets overrun by the peat at the end with a like pepper, yeah. a black pepper taste at the end with a
subtle.
Long finish.
It's a subtle black pepper.
With a long finish.
Yeah. That is really nice.
That is how,
I
those
don't
are the
remember
notes that I would give.
How much it was, like 70 bucks?
Yeah, 60, I think. 65. I think it was 65.
Yeah. So that's especially in the world of that we live in today,
mm-hmm.
where we've got tariffs on
scotch, right? Which is what are your tasting notes?
Tragedy. Stand by.
I mean, I think at the very beginning there is this like sweetness that.
Yeah, so I'm getting some orange, like kind of an not citrus.
Okay.
Like
an
more
orange
like
peel?
An orange candy.
Oh, okay.
Like orange flavor, that like you know how that has a sweet.
On the palate or on the nose?
On the palate, right
okay.
away.
Okay.
So that's the sweetness to me. It's a little bit of orange sweetness. You know, like those oranges that have the sugar, like this orange candy, they got the sugar all over them that, mm-hmm. you know, that are just delicious.
That your grandma normally
yeah,
gives
yeah.
you
yeah,
during
exactly.
Halloween.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of orange sweet. That's what I'm getting right away.
That is, I don't know if anybody has ever described a scotch with a orange slice gummy. But,
you're welcome.
But
hey,
here we are.
This is why you tune into the Catholic Man Show.
Here we are.
Right here. So, Adam, I have to tell you.
Okay.
Gary Sticca, he sent me a text message. He's a buddy of ours. He sent me a message today. He said, hey, I don't have Twitter, but I want a sticker. And I had to tell him, Gary, I'm ashamed to tell you that I have no idea what you're talking about. And so he's like, well, maybe you should check out your Twitter account. And I was like, maybe I should. Is this, I'm looking at some coasters over here. Is this,
no, those are stickers.
Those are stickers. Uh-huh. Are these stickers
yes.
he's been referring to?
Yes, we ran a sticker campaign.
Can you talk about these stickers?
Sure. We ran a sticker campaign on our Twitter account. This one is, it's really awesome. Father Salinas Casey, and it says, thank God ahead of time. This is kind of one of his sayings.
They'll be blurry.
Yeah, it'll be blurry. But
it's over here right now.
A drawing that we had done. We had commissioned. We're actually going to make it a t-shirt as well. So we're really excited about them. They're pretty sweet. But we're going to be running a Father's Day giveaway here pretty soon. So make sure you check out our website, The Catholic Mansion. We have a lot of sweet giveaways that we're going to be doing. So make sure you check that out, thecatholicmanshow.com. But yeah, we're giving away stickers. Just follow us on our social media pages because we continue to do giveaways. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, stickers. Salinas Casey.
Yeah, Father Salinas. He's blessed, actually.
Blessed Salinas Casey.
Yeah.
With the red glasses, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
So your wife has not given birth yet. She's not in labor that we know of.
No. Yesterday, she looks at me and she's like, she's like holding her belly and she's like, I feel kind of like, maybe crampy, like I'm having some cramps, or I just feel kind of funny. And I was like, do I need to stop drinking? Like, she's like, well, why would you need to stop drinking? And I was like, I love you, but like, if you're gonna have a baby, I want to be on my A game, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I was, you know, we were grilling and stuff, but then it was a false alarm, nothing.
Okay.
Nothing, but we are inside 2 weeks.
Right.
From the due date, so it could be, like, if I have to leave, that would make an awesome show
for you.
If I just like bolted.
Bailed.
Like Juan.
I'll follow you.
Fill in.
Oh, Juan would just follow. Yeah. See, you guys would. That would be something
Juan,
you guys both would do.
Take over for me. And I get across the street and Juan's right behind me. He's like, no, I'm coming with you. I'm
bailing on you guys.
So Juan is the kind of guy that like when your wife is having a baby, you have to like come up with a plan to like keep him out.
Yeah.
Like, cause he might come in the middle. Mm-hmm. Like a baby being born. Juan is that committed to life, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. We're hopefully going to be having Father Donald Calloway on the show today.
Today.
Tonight.
Like this episode.
Right. We're hopefully
it has been
talking about with Father Calloway on St. Joseph. And
yes.
We have some really interesting questions that I've not heard him answer on other interviews. So I really hope that he joins us.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to maybe have a little debate on some of the stuff he has in his book, which
will be fun.
Which is, it'll be friendly because ultimately I agree with him, but I want to talk to him about some of the struggles I had while reading it.
Yeah. The consecration to St. Joseph was,
yes.
By the way, what we're referencing, which will be our man gear. So hang in there. We'll jump into it here in just a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Mi amo David. I'm here with Adam Minahan, Juan Posada, and Jim Spencer. We try to speak Spanish on the show, you know, just as much as we can. That's about as much as I can right there.
But I nailed it. Yeah.
I nailed it.
You did do a really good job.
That was spectacular. I mean, the pronunciation, the delivery.
It's actually muy fantástico.
Yeah. I mean,
so... Well,
yeah,
well done.
Yeah, that's one. That's a great way to say it,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
When I think about it more.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about St. Joseph today.
Pumped.
You have consecrated yourself to St. Joseph.
Yes, sir.
I have consecrated myself to St. Joseph. Juan has consecrated himself to St. Joseph.
And Jim is on his way.
He's my patron saint.
And
Joseph is your patron saint.
My confirmation
saint.
Nice.
Nice. Have you started the book yet? Yeah.
Yeah. He's starting the book soon.
You know, like, there's in the, you know, like suggested days to start, sort of like the consecration to Mary, so that you end the consecration on a Josephine. Kind of makes it sound feminine if you say Josephine. Josephite, though, is like,
yeah, the married, like
that would be like
married.
A person.
Yeah.
Yeah, hashtag Josephite, I think, is like one of the funniest hashtags to just throw in, like, at weird moments. Anyway, just giving that to you guys.
Yeah, but
you can use
it. But you did it.
So we've done the consecration. Phenomenal.
Yes, it is.
Totally blew my mind.
Me
like,
too.
All of the stuff about St. Joseph and how awesome he is. And just, so the man gear today is the book. The book that we're talking about today, The Consecration to St. Joseph by Father Donald Calloway.
Mm-hmm. We will hopefully have him on.
You know, and it's like there's a whole book about him and all of this stuff. And, it's, you know, part of me wonders. In fact, I did say I wondered this out loud throughout many times the book, like, how do we know this? And then, because one thing that Father Calloway does in this book is he will assert something about St. Joseph. Like, St. Joseph loved his wife more than any man has ever loved a woman.
Right.
And it was like, I found myself saying, like, anyone could even know that, Napoleon. Okay?
Right.
Several times. And because he would just, like, assert it.
Uh-huh.
And not even back it up. And just carry on like he didn't just assert something huge without any evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be brewing on it. And then, like, the next, in like a page later, he would go, wham, here's the proof.
Right.
And here's a quote from, like, somebody huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's very well quoted. I had no idea.
All the references that he's
so many references.
Pull.
Yeah. Also, St. Julian Aimard.
Mm-hmm. In the 1800s, is that when he was?
So I did an axe retreat. I don't know if you have, you know, like if you have axe retreats where you guys are, but we have axe. It's a like a parish. It's sort of like a Curcio at the parish level. Mm-hmm. So I went on a retreat, and St. Julian Aimard was the patron saint of the retreat I went on. And ever since then, I've been seeing him all over the place. He was in, because he's in this book a bunch.
Yes.
And then, like, just yesterday, I was, Pamela was playing this YouTube video by one of the Sisters of Charity, and they're talking all about St. Peter Julian Aimard. It's like, I've been running into him. It's like, is he becoming popular? I don't know. I hope so. I
mean, maybe he's wanting to be a part of your life more.
I think so. He already is a part of my life more, because I had no idea who he was until I went on this axe retreat. Anyway, he's a big dude for St. Joseph. Huge St. Joseph dude. But this book, I really like the way he lays it out, because he walks through the litany to St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
So each day, there's 33 days for the consecration, and each day is talking about another aspect of the litany. You know, like Joseph most just, Joseph most prudent, Joseph
most chaste,
most strong. Right, exactly. Terror of demons.
The glory of the domestic church.
Yeah.
Or domestic life, or, the glory of domestic life. Yeah,
it depends on the translation. I've seen some that say glory of domestic life, home life, or the domestic church.
Which I love that.
Same thing.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Glory of home life.
That's like awesome.
Yeah, because he spent his life at home.
One of the things that really,
like, actually most people did back then, but
right. One of the things that really stood out to me that I kind of forgot about. I remember when I was younger, my grandparents telling me about, you know, making sure to pray for a happy death. Making sure to ask for a happy death and asking for that grace. And that's something that I feel like has gone away in today's culture of remembering to pray for a happy death. And what does that mean? It made me start thinking about it, and I thought, man, what a grace it is to know, to have the opportunity to receive the sacraments before you die, to be able to maybe get the apostolic pardon before you die. I mean, these are graces that...
Right.
Are some of the biggest graces that you can receive in your lifetime.
And your last opportunity. I know, that's really how I feel. I think that long-term illness, however long-term that may be, is the most blessed way to die. Because you have the opportunity, this incredible opportunity to prepare for your death.
Mm-hmm.
There is much suffering in this type of death, a lot of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But how little does that suffering compare with the opportunity to prepare for your death, to know I'm getting closer. And even like at the end, I will probably die in the next 48 hours, mm-hmm. you know, and to just make sure that that 48 hours is filled with the sacraments.
Right.
You know, what else is more important than that?
Right.
You know, like I would take all of the suffering that there is if I had that opportunity.
I remember when my grandfather passed away, I was looking and I was just, you know, when there's pivotal moments in your life and you just like try to like take a snapshot of like what's going on so you can remember it, you know, because when big things happen in your life, it's hard to remember exactly what's going on, how you feel, like
yeah.
some of the details get blurry. And so I remember just like sitting there thinking, and he had a strong devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Saint Joseph and our Blessed Mother. And I remember just thinking, like, here's my grandfather who is suffering, but he has received all the sacraments. He's received the apostolic pardon. He has his family around him who is praying the rosary, you know, before he passes away. And like, what a grace-filled moment it was. And what an opportunity, not only to for obviously for him, but for his family to see the patriarch of the family suffer well and die in the state of grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just so moving that was like one of those things that connected the dots while I was reading this book. I realized, yes, that is something that I fail to do a lot is to make sure to pray for a happy death.
Yeah. The apostolic pardon is like the nuclear bomb of grace. I mean, it's like
outside of the Eucharist.
Well, right. Yeah. But yeah, of course.
Right. I knew you weren't going to.
Of course, Adam.
Right.
Duh.
I mean, Mary's the best. And then Mary.
Right. Like, who's your favorite saint aside from Mary?
What's your favorite book except for the
Bible?
Except
for the Bible. If you could go back in time and spend time with one person, who would it be? Except for Jesus and Mary. Right. So anyway, but today we're talking about Saint Joseph. And one of the things that Saint Joseph has in common with Our Lady is a parental office over Christ. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the reasons why Joseph is such a powerful intercessor, because just like Our Lady, who Christ never refuses anything that she asks for, one of the reasons is because he obeys the commandment, be obedient to your father and mother.
Right.
Okay. She's his mother. Well, Joseph too holds the office of fatherhood
right.
over Christ, the second person of the Trinity. Mm-hmm. He's obviously not the father of the Holy Spirit or God the Father, but neither is Mary the mother of God the Holy Spirit or God the Father. She is Mary of Jesus, the Son. So, I feel like after having read this book that Joseph is just so underrated, like huge.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Joseph, the church actually proclaims that he has his own level of
worship.
Well, yeah, you call it worship.
Proto-dulia.
Yeah, it's proto-dulia. So we have dulia for the saints. We have latria, which only is the worship that belongs to God, God alone. But then we have hyperdulia for Mary,
which is like reverence. You know, I mean,
exactly.
Latria, everything else is reverence,
right? But then Joseph receives his own title as well of protodulia, which means like first honor,
mm-hmm. Or proto,
right?
Proto first, you know.
Right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the church already says yes, Joseph is not just another saint. Mm-hmm. He does stand above all the other saints except for Mary. Mm-hmm. And so like we need to have him in our lives. One of the things that Father Calloway really drives home in the book is that Saint Joseph has a spiritual fatherhood for all of us. In a similar way that Mary is the mother of us all, mm-hmm. Joseph is a spiritual father to all of us. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, he's not God the Father, obviously.
Right.
Right, and so it's a little bit different because there is no God the Mother. So Mary kind of takes the role of motherhood. She kind of she's the only one in that space, so mm-hmm. to speak, you know. But Saint Joseph has a real fatherhood over us spiritually. And I think especially for us as men, we have to get to know this saint because... you know, he is the one who can teach us what it means to be a man apart from Christ better than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this old, I know I've mentioned this on the show, those old bracelets, WWJD bracelets. I hate those things because, like, what would Jesus do? I don't know. Like, probably, like, raise someone from the dead or, like, die on the cross for everybody. I can't do those. But I can do what the saints have done. Joseph is a man, just like a regular dude. Well, I mean,
no.
He rose to greatness.
Right.
Anyway.
Which we're all called to.
We can imitate St. Joseph.
Yes. And so we're going to talk with Father Calloway when we get right, we're right back talking about consecration to St. Joseph.
Get the book.
Get the book. We'll be right back. He's here. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sitting here with David Niles, and I want to give everybody who's listening right now a big thank you. Before the show, we asked you guys to pray that the equipment works well, that Father Calloway is able to make it, and lo and behold, we do have Father Donald Calloway with us. Father, it is so great to see you again. Thanks for hanging out with us this evening.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's awesome to be with you, man.
So about, I think it was probably a couple years ago, I had the opportunity to interview you on the Champions of the Rosary. Yep. And you can still find that on our website and things like that. It was a great interview. Awesome book. Loved it. And when I had a chance to talk with you, was it the Wichita Family Conference that you were with?
Yeah, I think it was.
I remember the book hadn't come out yet, and you told me, Adam, this book is going to be even better than the Champions of the Rosary. It is going to be have more impact than even the Champions of the Rosary. And I remember thinking, Father, come on, man. Like, how could that possibly be? And yeah. Lo and behold, it has. It has been amazing. It's caught on fire. Everybody I talk to seems to know about it, either have a copy, already consecrated themselves, or in the process of it. So congrats on this.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
So let me ask you this. What made you, like, what was the inside that said, I need to bring St. Joseph to everybody? Like, what was it that really made you want to take a deep dive into St. Joseph?
Well, I think just the crisis that we're going through that seems to be different than in the past. You know, in the past, we've had crises when it comes to false teaching. So we have that stuff today for sure. But we've got today what I call an anthropological crisis. We've got people confused about what is marriage? What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? We got gender ideology. People are thinking all kinds of crazy ideas today. So I thought, you know, we need a loving father, a good father to restore order to our chaotic, broken, messed up house right now. And what better man than the head of the Holy Family to bring some order to our situation?
Yeah. So, Father, we were talking about your book a little bit. We kind of gave an overview of it in our last segment. And so I know you've done a lot. I know I listen to Catholic radio a lot, and you've done a lot of interviews just talking about the book. But I wanted to get the opportunity to ask you some of the questions that I wanted to ask you while I was reading the book. Because you make a lot of bold claims about St. Joseph in this book. And I came to really appreciate them all because I don't know if it's your writing style or if you did it on purpose, but you would throw out this thing like about St. Joseph. And it would be kind of like wow, that's a bold statement. And you wouldn't even prove it. You would just kind of throw it and move on as if like, yep, that's just the way it is. And so I would be sitting there reading going like, what? You're just not even, what? And then like a page or two later, you would have all of these quotes from saints referring to the very thing that I was sitting there stewing over. And it was like, oh, okay, he got me again. You know, like how many times is he going to do this to me in this book? But the one that I got hung up on the most that I really wanted to get to talk to you about is the idea of when it says, Joseph was going to leave Mary, or, you know, some Bible translations say divorce her, which you talk about in the book as well. And I grew up just kind of reading the narrative thinking, oh yeah, well, he was going to divorce her because he thought she had been unfaithful to him. You know, Joseph's not a fool. He knows where babies come from. And she's pregnant. So, you know, he's going to do the kind thing and do it quietly because he could have her stoned, you know, But then you talk about this idea of the reverence theory. Can you just tell us briefly what the reverence theory is as opposed to the other one?
Yeah, so there's actually three theories throughout Christianity that have been there from the beginning, and the emphasis is theory, right? And you have saints who hold to either one, and so that's why we've had different translations throughout history. Some translate this Greek word apoluo to say divorce, and it can be translated in as divorce. The context determines it, but it can also be translated as distance from, you know, to separate from, so different from divorce. So the first theory is called the suspicion theory. That's where St. Joseph thinks that she is basically committed adultery, and he wants to divorce her. The second one is called the stupefaction theory, kind of a cool name, stupefaction, right? You don't hear that word much ever.
Right.
But, you know what I mean? So that's where he is perplexed. He doesn't know what's going on, but he just wants to bail out. He's like, I'm out of here. I'm going to divorce her. You know,
I feel like a lot of men can relate to that. Like, whoa, I don't know what's going on. It's getting a little weird for me. I'm out of here. You know?
Right. Yeah. Well, and then the third one is the reverence theory. This is the one where he finds out that she's pregnant and he's like, I can't do this, because he doesn't suspect her of adultery or someone's taking advantage of her. He thinks he's not worthy. He's like David in the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, where the Ark comes into his presence and he's like, Lord, I am not worthy. And he sends it away for 3 months, right? Or like Moses before the burning bush, you know, takes his sandals off. He's not worthy. So that's what I believe, the reverence theory. And many saints do as well. And I got the, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas, the greatest theologian ever, and many, many others. It's just a way of understanding it because of his great insight. He's an ordinary man, but at the same time, he is extraordinarily filled with grace and insight and union, close union with the Holy Spirit. So that's what I believe. And, you know, probably part of the thing that you struggle with is, well, how could he be a just man? How is it just to just leave her, whether you call it divorce or not?
Right.
What's up with that?
Yeah. And if it's all about reverence, like, oh, I'm not worthy, how is abandoning her? How is that a reverent thing to do? That was a big hang up of mine.
Sure. Yeah. No, and I get that. And I think the best explanation for it is that, you know, he didn't understand what was going on theologically in its terminology. He wouldn't have been able to talk about the hypostatic union of, you know, the second person of the Trinity taking on human nature. But he knew that God was at work in his wife's womb. And then he realized, if God can bring about a baby in a virgin's body, God certainly can take care of her and that child, because that's God's child. Therefore, he didn't really see himself as abandoning her. If God can do that in her womb, certainly he can feed and house her forever. So he's thinking, I can't do this. I'm not worthy. I found myself encountering a mystery here. I just need to back away until God gives me another sign, because I can't go near the ark lest I die. Remember in the Old Testament, if any man entered into the Holy of Holies or touched the Ark of the Covenant, dead. Mm-hmm. So that he's thinking this stuff and he's like, oh, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah, just ask Uzzah. Amazing.
Yeah, Uzzah was made a mistake.
Yeah, and he was trying to save the ark. You know, like, oh, it's gonna fall. Don't fall. Sorry, bro.
Yeah, sorry, Uzzah.
He killed. God killed a dude to just prove the sinlessness of Mary. You know, like the Immaculate Conception. Yeah, he killed a dude over it. That's how important it was. But the other thing that I was kind of thinking is like, all right, so if you're St. Joseph, clearly St. Joseph has a hang up. You know, he's encountering like something. He's not sure what to do. And so I was thinking, all right, well, God, he would send an angel. He did send an angel to clear it up for Joseph, to clear up his confusion, or to, you know, the thing that he was having a problem with. And so when I read the, what did the angel say? You know, it seems like the angel says, no, fear not to take Mary into your home, because the baby is from the Lord. So it seemed to me like that must be the hang up, because that's what the angel came and said. Can you talk about that? Because also when I like read that later on, I realized like, that's not all that the angel said. Angel also talked about giving Jesus a name. So can you make any comments on that?
Yeah, no, your points are great. And those are things that a lot of times it has to do with the translation. So if you read certain translations, it doesn't read like you just read it. It reads like the angel is affirming him that Joseph is already thinking that it's of God, and the angel just affirms it. Like, that's why the angel comes to him and says, Joseph, son of David. Why would the angel put that little phrase in there? So that Joseph remembers, remember what David did? You're in the lineage of David. I've come sent from God to tell you, don't do what he did. Okay, you are not worthy. You're right. You passed the test, Joseph. God was testing you. He wanted to see if you were willing to sacrifice yourself to such a degree, you know, like Abraham and his son. Are you willing to give everything? Because if you're willing to give everything, you're basically going to be like a new Adam. Your spiritual children are going to be more numerous than the stars of the heaven, more so than Abraham. And in some translations, and I have one in the book, it's from this great priest who's now deceased, Father Ignace de la Poterie. He gives a translation, and he was a biblical scholar, that is mind-blowing. And it's the angel is affirming what Joseph already knows, that this is of God. So he's not like revealing, oh, by the way, it's of the Holy Spirit, just in case you were wondering, Joseph. No, it is. What you're thinking is true, you know?
Yeah, right.
So, amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. And like the fact that the angel told Joseph to name Jesus, you know, that to me was like, okay, reading your book really brought that element of scripture to new light, because now the angel is sort of giving Joseph an authority over Christ that Joseph did not assume upon himself, you know? And how could he? It's not his child, and he knows that. But now he's been given this authority over Christ as the office of fatherhood, which of course is why Joseph is so awesome, you know? I had never, even in the NAB, it's that way. I had never really noticed or, you know, considered the implications of that profound act.
So we're here sitting here with Father Donald Calloway talking about Saint Joseph, his book Consecration to Saint Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father. You can go get it on his website, your local Catholic gift and bookstore, or I'm sure Amazon has it as well. We're going to continue this conversation right after this break. Hang out there with us. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Father, welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We got Juan Posada on the buttons. Jim Spencer playing the bouncer today. We're joined via VMix call by Father Donald Calloway, author of Consecration to Saint Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father, a book that you guys all really do need, because like there's no other book like this one. You know, you mentioned the Champions of the Rosary, another great book. There's a lot of books on the Rosary, a lot of, you know, and they're all probably good in their own way. But this book, I don't think has ever been written, Father. You might, I mean, do you know of any other? I really don't know of any other books on St. Joseph like this.
Not like this. Yeah, this is not only got the academic stuff where you're getting doctrinal type things, but also the piety, the devotion. And it's a double whammy, so to speak.
So, Father, we wanted to save this for when you were on air with us, because we've not announced this at all. This is something we've never done. We've wanted to do for a long time.
We started in 2016, so we're
a long time,
four and years in.
This is something we have been thinking about the whole time, about we need a patron saint for our show. And so it is our pleasure today to announce that Saint Joseph is the official patron saint of the Catholic Man Show, partly due to
your book.
Due to this book. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. So excited, guys. That is fantastic, man. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's right and just.
St. Joseph is fantastic, which
is,
you know, like, we were thinking about, if we're the Catholic Man Show, are we really allowed to pick another saint other than Saint Joseph? You know, like, we're going to discredit ourselves if we do that.
Right.
So I just want to put a bow on the whole reverence theory thing, just because I really do appreciate this, because this one element for me was a big challenge, but when I got over it, it was just like, it just brought a lot of appreciation. You know, when you were talking about how Joseph knew St. Mary better than any, he knew Mary better than anybody, even, you know, it's not like he didn't know who he was marrying. So the fact that he knew that she was super virtuous, the idea that she would cheat on him,
never cross.
It would just be utterly ridiculous, you know, and he knew that. And so to me, that really ruled out, it's like, yeah, of course. That does rule out the suspicion theory. I just wanted to, I had to throw that in there. The other thing I want to talk to you about today is the old versus young St. Joseph. Okay. Yeah. Because I don't know if like old people are easier to paint or something, but all of the paintings of St. Joseph throughout history have him as like an old dude. Why is that? What's up with that?
Yeah, well, you know, the intentions for doing that were good. It's just that they were really grounded in what we call apocryphal writings, you know, because in the New Testament, and still to this day, we have no official teaching on the age of St. Joseph. The Catholic Church in Catechism point 744, it doesn't state anything like this, you know, we don't have it. But in the early church, they wanted to so defend the virginity of Mary, which is good, right?
Right.
That they thought the best way to do that would be to depict St. Joseph as being practically dead, you know, with no virile powers left to even entertain any kind of desire. So they thought, well, that's what we'll do. So literally, there are accounts in apocryphal writings where he marries Our Lady at like age 98. No kidding. I mean, they take it to the extreme. Really? So that comes from.
Is that the Proto-Evangelium of James? Or is that
This is a Coptic apocryphal writing.
Okay.
Where he's 98. But
Yeah, because that is super old.
Right.
Like, I didn't even know. I didn't know people lived that long back then.
But what I loved about the book is that you make the counter argument for a young Saint Joseph, and I started reading it, I was like, well, this makes sense. If we're talking about Saint Joseph being a virtuous man, it totally makes sense. And not to mention all the transportation that he had to go from, you know, Bethlehem, Nazareth to Egypt. You know, like, an old man can't do that. And if there were like robbers on the side of the road, you know, and they saw an old man,
nobody's gonna care about an old man.
Right. Like, but if it, you know, a young guy, it would be a little bit more intimidating, maybe, you know. So, and he's the protector of Mary. So there's so many things that you brought out in this book that I was like, man, that is awesome. So maybe give us a little idea of why you think that St. Joseph is a young St. Joseph.
Well, you know, he was called to be the model of masculinity for the God-man. So remember, he was the father of Jesus, not the grandfather of Jesus. So it was St. Joseph who taught him how to pray, right? It was his role to lead the prayers. It was not the mother's role in the family. It was the father's. He's the one who taught him how to work. And when God wanted to imitate someone in the person of Jesus Christ, he chose to imitate St. Joseph. So he has the mannerisms, the accent, probably a similar walk as St. Joseph. Those are huge. If St. Joseph was old, Jesus would have observed forgetfulness and afternoon naps, right? You need a father to model. And not only that, but, you know, Jewish men were required to walk to Jerusalem three times a year for Jewish rituals. And if you add that up, let's just say 30 years that St. Joseph walked, it probably was more than that. If you add up the math, St. Joseph was required to walk almost like three-fourths of the way around the planet. If you add the math, from Nazareth to Jerusalem is a three-day walk. Three times a year for 30 years, you're walking three-fourths of the way around the planet. Old man can't do this. Right. So this is just looking at it logically. And, you know, it's not me just saying this. I mean, we've got great people like Venerable Fulton Sheen, who gives phenomenal explanations about this. How young men, actually, it's more virtuous for a young man to be chaste than it is for an old man. An old man doesn't have passion anymore. It's waning. But when a young man has it and he puts it in control for God's holy purposes, like St. Joseph, we're talking extreme virtue. He lived with the most beautiful woman ever to walk the planet, you know? So, yeah, I definitely think he was younger.
Yeah, you have an extended quote by Venerable Fulton Sheen in the book. And, man, he is so powerful on this point. Like, he just leaves no doubt. I mean, like, he's just so, I mean, he's, you know, Fulton Sheen. You know, he's, like, logically airtight. But, man, he just is like, okay, I remember when I got to that part in your book, I was like, all right, I know what team I'm on. Because I kind of wasn't on a team. Like, I didn't really, like, have a dog in the fight, like, about how old is St. Joseph. Like, I don't know, you know, what. But after that, I was like, no, don't you dare say he's an old man. Like, you are wrong.
Father, one of the things I wanted to ask you was, there's a lot of guys and a lot of men and women in this world who grew up with not a role model of a father, who they can't trust. They don't know what a true virtuous man is because they never had it in their life. How can St. Joseph help these people?
Yeah, well, this is another big part of why I put the book together, because we are definitely suffering from major father wounds. And, you know, even in the church, we've had a lot of things happen that have been, you know, very bad. And a lot of people have bad relationships with the father. Whether it's any form of abuse, you know, emotional, psychological, or worse, that's where we need St. Joseph to come in, because he's still our father, you know, in heaven on a spiritual level, and he wants to take care of us. You know, he was the father of the head of the mystical body of Christ, so he's the father of the members, which means he wants to care for us, he wants to console us, he wants to be a part of our life, and that's where his titles in the litany come in. You know, he's the comfort of the afflicted. He's the solace of the miserable. He's the terror of demons. He's the pillar of families, the glory of domestic life. He's a comfort for us in every way. And we need him today, big time.
Yeah, and I even loved, when I prayed this, I was praying the litany with my wife at the end of the evening. And I didn't realize how much she was going to get out of it. You know, when I looked at the consecration to St. Joseph, I thought, this is a man's book. You know, this is for men. But I've heard a lot of women who have thoroughly enjoyed this book and cultivated this relationship with St. Joseph that they really needed. Yeah. Talk about that, maybe push guys to have their wives read it.
Yes, for sure. And the book was written for everyone, so men, women, children. But you're right. Women, I think, hearing from them is that some of those wounds from the past or relationships or so forth, they're finding great healing, because a lot of them, when they're hurt from a man, whether it's a father or a husband, a boyfriend, whatever, they get insecure. That's the word. I talked to so many women in counseling and spiritual direction who suffer from insecurity because there's a wound there that was inflicted by a man. Well, St. Joseph is so healing for that, because he's never going to hurt you, never going to harm you. He is all loving. He is just there for you night and day, 24/7. He is there. And to think that he took care of Our Lady, you know, the woman who was just, you know, that masterpiece, the Immaculata, he's there for all of us. And women's hearts are healing from this book.
Yeah, I can just tell you that my wife and I, we did it together. And she just loved it. I mean, she loved it as much as I did. And so she just got so much out of it, because at the end of the day, women need spiritual fatherhood just like men do.
Right.
You know?
And how pleasing would it be to St. Joseph knowing that your domestic church is growing in holiness and love for our Lord and have veneration for St. Joseph through this book, through venerating him.
So let me ask you one question. We've just got about a minute left. I've already done a total consecration to Our Lady, you know, by St. Louis de Montfort. How is it, you know, like, am I allowed to consecrate myself again? Should I consecrate myself to all of the saints, you know, and how does it work? Like, St. Joseph, Mary,
right?
Do you know what I'm asking? No.
Yeah, so the easiest answer is to say that we're not members of a one-parent spiritual family. Like, you don't only talk to your mom, you talk to your dad too. So we need to do it because we call Jesus. And we're going to take Jesus to give ourselves to both Mary and Jesus.
I love it. Yeah,
that makes sense. Father, I am so grateful for you to hang out with us this evening. Thank you so much for writing the book. It was great to talk to you again. I hope we get our paths cross again very soon, because I loved hanging out with you in Wichita. And hopefully we can hang out again soon.
Sounds good, brothers. God bless you guys.
Thanks so much.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Have you ever been put on the spot and asked to explain or defend Catholic teaching on sensitive topics such as abortion, same-sex marriage, or the Eucharist? What to Say and How to Say It is a straightforward and practical resource by Brandon Vogt, best-selling and award-winning author of Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too. He offers essential tools for articulating even the most contentious aspects of your Catholic faith with clarity and confidence. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code TALKFAITH to get 25% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.